This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. It is now time to talk Mavs as Bobby Carella, an expert Mavs insider, Mavs.com, joins you now here in the G-Bag Nation. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How are we doing?
We're doing great. We all picked Mavs to win this series. Obviously, game one was humbling. How easy do you think it is going to be for the Mavs to make adjustments and have a better result tonight?
You know, on the one hand, I think it'll be pretty easy because they did just about everything you could possibly do wrong in the first half of that game. And in the second half, I mean, it was a totally different game. Now, granted, they were down 29 points before they touched the ball for the first time in the third quarter. But it seemed like they might have found a little something. And so if you can just avoid having the worst half of your season for the second game in a row, then I think they're going to have a much better chance to win the game. That said, the Clippers are going to have a chance to make some adjustments too, based on what happened in the second half. So, you know, I don't think it's going to be like a cakewalk by any measure, but I mean, I certainly expect at minimum a much, much, much more competitive game tonight from start to finish.
Yeah, I think if I'm the coaching staff, I want to see what that looks like with an inspired performance. You know, I have to imagine pride gets on the line. They look at that film and there's going to be a lot of guys fired up to make a great impression tonight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, in the first half, the Clippers, they started something like 7 of 11 from 3. And, you know, they hit a couple backbreakers, right, like late in the shot clock where you defend well for 22 seconds and they're still able to knock one down. But, you know, part of the reason that those couple makes stick out so much is because those were really like the only times where the Mavs strung together 20 good seconds of defense. Like a lot of the Clippers shots, especially in the first quarter, just came too easy and too early in the shot clock. Like they weren't really having to work for anything. It was Zubats post up, dump it down, one dribble, two dribble, turn and score. Or like swing, swing, open three. And, you know, the Mavs just didn't really make them work very hard. Where was that number one defense down the stretch? And at halftime, the switch flipped. And I mean, out of respect for the Clippers, like they still shot 50% from three for the game. It's not like they simply stopped playing after halftime. But the Mavs did make them work just a little harder. And they were able to string together some stops, force some turnovers and get out in transition and make something happen. So, I mean, a switch definitely flipped. It's just, it's got to be frustrating for Mavs fans to see, like, why did it take a 29-point deficit for that switch to flip?
Yeah, Bobby, what do you think Tyronn Lue, what he threw at them, how unique was some of the things that he was doing, and how easy will it be for the Mavericks to be able to combat some of those things?
I wouldn't say that what they were doing was necessarily unique. I think in the first half, especially in the second quarter, when things were getting real uncomfortable and the gap was widening, you know, the Clippers did mix up their coverages on Luka a little bit, and there wasn't really like a rhyme or reason to it. Like some teams, if Luka's on the left side of the floor, they'll double. If he's on the right side of the floor, they'll drop. And if he's in the middle of the floor, they'll switch. Like to where they are doing different things, but you can kind of figure it out over 48 minutes and be able to guess what they're doing. But the Clippers were just mixing it up almost every time down the floor, even, you know, not out of a timeout where they would have a chance to talk about it or whatever. So there was a little bit of cat and mouse there between the Clippers coaching staff and Luka. But what they were doing with their guys on the weak side, what they were doing with their low men, and kind of like how they were defending in rotation, none of it was super unconventional or, you know, really hard to make sense of. I mean, they played a good, clean game. And, you know, maybe it took a little bit for Luka to figure out what they were doing. But, you know, really, I think what hurt the Mavs a lot, especially in that first half, was, you know, role players like Dante Exum, Derek Jones, Maxi Kleber, those three in particular, just kind of maybe a little hesitant, a little reluctant to put the ball on the floor and attack. And the Clippers were really, really packing the paint with bodies. And so, you know, there were a couple plays where Jones in particular was able to put the ball on the floor, but he was greeted by three or four guys at the rim and he wasn't able to get all the way there and finish. He had to settle for a kind of like floater push shot. And that's just not really his game. So, you know, I think with the way the Mavs play and with kind of like the strengths and also weaknesses of their supporting players, so much of their offense is predicated on Luka and Kyrie breaking their guy down on the perimeter and getting into the teeth of the defense. And so until those guys are able to do it every single time down the floor, it's going to be a little tougher for everybody else. And so I think, you know, their success has to start and finish with Luka and Kyrie for sure.
Hey, Bobby, a team that's old and plays slow but knocks down shots, how do you combat that, you know, with if you look at how the Clippers play?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the Clippers are going to mismatch Hunt Luka a lot. You know, we saw them do that almost every single possession, trying to force Luka to switch onto Harden or onto Paul George. And so a lot of pressure is going to be on him, not only to help carry the load on offense, but also to dig in and, you know, pull his shorts up and get down in a stance and defend every single time. And if you can do that, you know, if you can be, you know, if you can have some good, solid point of attack defense and prevent breakdowns, then you can force the Clippers into a lot of slow, drawn out, long, isolation heavy possessions where there's really not a lot of penetration. You know, they're not forcing the Mavs to get into rotation. You're not finding open shooters in the corner. You know, the Mavs kind of can grind their offense to dust if they just have discipline on the perimeter. But where they got in trouble, especially in the first half, was, you know, for starters, it's much harder to defend after you miss a shot because you're having to get back in transition. But then also, if you're hanging your head, or if you're just not communicating, or like Daniel Gafford picked up a foul like a minute into the game, and so for the rest of the first quarter, he was kind of having to defend with one hand behind his back. You know, that's whenever you can start really getting exposed. And then also, you know, Terrence Mann himself had four offensive rebounds, and he's like 6'2", 6'3". So it's on everybody to not only force a tough shot, but also to finish the possession. I mean, it was really, you know, in my estimation, upon rewatching the game, it was a lot of just like attention to detail stuff and intensity in the first half. And Kyrie Irving kind of echoed that after the game. So, I mean, they have to take care of those details. Otherwise, you know, they are going to put themselves in some tough situations.
Bobby, is the fact that the game was played during the day have anything to do with how the Mavs came out, or is that just being too simple?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Clippers are going to play during the day too, you know,
but I was talking to some folks with the Mavs. I was talking to some folks with the Mavs, and they were talking about Gafford and that he didn't particularly play well in day games. And it just kind of made me think a little bit about that. I don't know. I was just trying to offer something that looked really bad out there the other day.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's something to think about. You know, Gafford did definitely come out with, you know, maybe a little less juice, a little less fuel in the tank than he normally does. But some of that could also be just, hey, he wasn't expecting that level of physicality and intensity.
Yeah.
You know, and he and everybody else are going to have to pick it up tonight. But yeah, I'll make excuses for some of the guys all day, but I don't really want to use the clock as an excuse.
Sure.
Here we go. It's Bobby Krell at Mavs.com, Chief.
How important are the role players and the shooting? And I know that this is not the best shooting supporting cast that Luka has ever played with, but, I mean, who are the guys that you feel like you can trust to knock down some shots here? Is it Exum? Is it Green? It can't be Maxi or Derek Jones Jr.
Yeah, and the Clippers were really daring Jones, especially to shoot. You know, they did close out on him hard a couple times, but for the most part, they were going to let him and let P.J. Washington and let Maxi shoot. I was pretty surprised that they actually did close out pretty hard on Exum a few times. So I wonder if they see his percentages and, you know, kind of consider him to be a threat. But yeah, I mean, you know, throughout the season, when those guys in particular, like Exum, Jones, Maxi, and Josh Green, when any or all of them have been struggling, they do tend to pass up threes, or maybe they think they have a shot, but they kind of like pump fake or hesitate for just a second. Now they don't anymore. And they're like, oh, what do I do? And then the next thing you know, there's 5-6 seconds left in the possession and you're having to settle for something worse. So, you know, those guys are going to have to just shoot without a conscience. You know, they're going to have to be confident and let that thing fly, because if the Clippers are going to continue defending Luka and Kyrie this way, where, you know, they're not necessarily hard doubling, but they're just loading the paint and just putting limbs and bodies and size everywhere, then those gaps around the rim are going to be really, really tiny, you know, and those shooters are going to have to let that thing fly. They're going to have half a second to get rid of it before Russell Westbrook's comes screaming out at you, waving his hands like a maniac to freak you out. Mm-hmm. But you have to put that thing up with confidence and see it go through, because if those guys can heat up, even if one of them can heat up or two of them can heat up, suddenly the Clippers can't sell out so much to stop that dribble penetration, and all of a sudden it makes Luka and Kyrie's job easier. So it's kind of this symbiotic thing where the better Luka and Kyrie play, the better the looks are for everyone else are going to be. Or if those guys that are getting looks and knocking them down, then all of a sudden Luka and Kyrie are going to have a whole lot more space to work with.
When the Mavs are on defense, was game one, is it Ty Lue just hunting Kyrie and Luka and forcing them into some tough spots?
Yeah, it was a lot of hunting those guys, you know, and I mean, the Clippers were, they shot something, I forget what the stat was, I saw it on Twitter. They shot like 65% on tightly defended threes, and they took like 13 of them or something. I mean, they made a lot of tough shots, but yeah, I mean, it was a lot of trying to force Luka or Kyrie into the action against Harden in particular, and sometimes against Paul George, and then using the Mavs as maybe, you know, there were communication breakdowns, or they were trying to commit to a double team, which allowed the Clippers to play 4-on-3, and then you're able to, you know, play tic-tac-toe and find the weak side shooter or the guy at the rim for a layup or a dunk. And so, you know, I think if the Mavs try and, you know, the Clippers are such a good shooting team that I don't think the Mavs can overcomplicate things on defense. Like, I think they have to switch all this stuff and just say, Luka and Kyrie, we need you on offense, but we also need you on defense. You know, we can't double team and blitz and trap these guys. They're too good of playmakers,
yeah.
And the Clippers are one of the best shooting teams in the league. They got guys that can knock down shots up and down the roster. We cannot afford to leave those guys open. We need you to make it tough on Harden and George. And the luxury that those guys have, you know, if Luka's on an island against Harden, the luxury you have is, first off, you know Harden is left-handed, and he always is going to finish with his left. He's not going to go right or shoot right or finish to his right. So just stay to his left hand. Steer him into your big man, because the Clippers kept size on the floor, so the Mavs can too. You know, steer him into your big man for some protection at the rim, and all of a sudden you don't have to shut him down. You can just take away his fastball and allow your big man to clean up the mess, you know, after it's over. So if they can defend as a five-man unit, I think they'll be fine. But if you start trapping and blitzing and stuff, then you're really leaving a lot to chance with some really good open three-point shooters.
It's Bobby Corella, Mavs.com. Is there a player you'd like to see more of tonight?
Well, I think Josh Green made a really big impact in the second half. You know, he kind of he always brings a lot of energy and, you know, kind of athleticism in the open floor. And another thing that he did is just run around a lot and force the Clippers into some wild passes, you know, attack the glass. He can jump really, you know, he can jump really, really high. And, you know, if the Clippers are kind of systematically, slowly, methodically picking you apart, then maybe introducing a little bit of chaos in there could be really good. And of course, we know the Clippers this year, top half defense after they make a shot, but they're a bottom 10 defense after they miss a shot, and they're very, very poor defending in transition too. And Josh Green is one of those guys that can turn defense into pretty easy offense because it's just so dang fast in the open floor. So I think that he'll get more minutes. Of course, with Josh, you know, the problem throughout the season is kind of the same as we see with guys like Maxey or Dante or Jones, which is what we've already said. You know, if he misses a couple threes, he is less likely to take that next one when he's open. And they need the shooters to keep shooting. And if Josh can just find a little bit of confidence and a little bit of rhythm from the perimeter, then he can do everything else in the series needed to get 20 or 30 minutes a night, no doubt about it.
Do you expect to see Kawhi tonight? Seeing the line change in the game makes us all feel like Kawhi might be getting the nod.
I don't know. I mean, he was on camera at shoot around. I've heard all sorts of things ranging from he's definitely playing to I don't know if he's going to play in this series. It just depends on who you ask him today. So I don't know. I mean, if he does play, I'm not really sure if there'll be like a minutes restriction on him. I mean, he hasn't played since March 31st. So, you know, it kind of makes things tough for Dallas because you're prepping to play like 20 or 30 minutes of Kawhi ball and then 20 or 30 minutes of Harden iso ball. And that's two totally different ways of defending. So, you know, the Mavs are going to be up to think on their feet tonight, and, you know, just got to hope for the best for everybody involved.
Chance for Jason Kidd, I think, to take another step and like nailing down a good reputation as a guy who can lose game one and then have the adjustments. Do you have a good idea of what those adjustments could be?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to push the ball more. In the first half, you know, I think they were a little frustrated, annoyed, kind of getting in their feelings a little bit, and they were just playing way too slow. That plays into the Clippers' hands, you know, on both sides of the ball. I think on offense, push the ball off a make or a miss, get out in transition, run the, you know, skip ahead, beat the defense before the defense can get set. And then whenever the Mavs are on defense, put a little pressure on Harden. You know, don't sit back. Hey, Derek Jones, pick him up, not all 94 feet. Josh Green, Dante Exum, play 94 feet of defense. Basically, do to Harden what the Clippers were doing to Luka. Just making the simple act of getting the ball over midcourt kind of a pain in the butt. You know, and if you can do that, all of a sudden you're wasting their time and wasting Harden's energy. And then also kind of do the Ty Lue thing. Whoever Harden is guarding, go attack him. You know, Luka was attacking Zubac a lot in the first game, and it didn't really work super well. I thought Zubac had a great game at both ends. Let's test out Harden tonight. You know, can he defend Luka? Can he stay in front of Kyrie? And if not, then all of a sudden you're going to force the Clippers to make some pretty uncomfortable decisions. So that's what I would do, but I'm just a guy on the phone with y'all. I'm not the head coach, and you know, hopefully Jay Kidd can find the answers.
But go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, but Bobby, I mean, you kind of laid it out for us, though. The Clippers, when they do miss shots, their defense, their transition defense, isn't good enough. You know, is that really the simple key tonight, is hope that the Clippers don't hit their shots?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, you want to force a miss, obviously, make things tough on them. I thought the Mavs did a much better job of just having some more integrity at the point of attack, not getting beaten off the dribble in like one or two bounces. But I mean, you have to rebound as a five-man unit. You know, if the Mavs are going to have a big man on the floor, sometimes that big man is going to be able to scoop up the board, but sometimes he's going to have to box out 300-pound Ivica Zubac.
Yeah.
So, you know, hey, you're Kyrie Irving, you're Josh Green, Tim Hardaway, PJ Washington, you know, get down there and get the rebound. And then also maybe take some chances too. You know, maybe play the passing lanes a little more, apply a little more ball pressure, force some uncomfortable decisions so that you can maybe force some turnovers and get out in transition. I mean, they were doing all this stuff in the second half, but really a lot of that was nowhere to be found in the first half. Like it really felt like in the first half we were watching the ideal LA Clippers basketball game.
Sure.
In the second half we watched the ideal Dallas Mavericks basketball game. It's just, you know, it just so happens that the Mavs spotted them 30 points before they were able to finally, you know, find a rhythm.
Bobby, you're a treasure for Mavericks fans, and we want to thank you for your expert perspective. And enjoy the game tonight, sir.
Hey, thank you guys. I appreciate you.
Cheers. There he goes. Bobby Carella, Mavs.com here. Joining us once again, game two is tonight in Los Angeles against the Clippers. And I feel like it's a must win, but yeah. This Mavs team can get hot. You know?
Yeah.
It won't be the end of the world, but the history of teams that go down, you know, 2-0, even if you're coming home, it ain't good.
Yeah, I've said it all along. I just don't feel like whoever finds a way to win a game on the visiting team's floor, that's your chance right there.
That's when the series starts, man.
Yeah, I just
series hasn't even started yet.
I would not be surprised if Dallas is 0-2 tonight.
Well, I would not be surprised if Chief has a top 10 for us and Wolchuk stead.
877-881-1053. Choose your own destiny. Should we celebrate National Picnic Day or should we celebrate Jack Nicholson's birthday? That's next in the Nation.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It is the G-Back Nation here on The Fan. So you got Mavs Clippers tonight at 9 o'clock. You'll have Rangers baseball coming up at 7 as they are going to host the Mariners. It's time now for Wolchuk's Top 10, hosted by Chief. Segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. Frankel & Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consult, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. Here's the Chief.
Yes, sir. The people have spoken on National Picnic Day. We will celebrate the 87th birthday of Jack Nicholson, which took place yesterday. So nice. Happy belated to our guy Jack here. You can text in your favorite Jack of all time, or you can text in your favorite Jack Nicholson movie. I actually have in front of me two lists. I have the most famous Jacks in all of history, and I also have Jack Nicholson's top 10 movies of all time as voted on by the people. So all the Jack will be had over the course of the next few minutes. I did want to show some love to the Lakers fan who ate a punch last night that I was not expecting in the crowd. Did you see that, Lucius?
Yeah, I seen that, bro, right to the jawbone.
Oh my.
It surprised the hell out of him, too.
Yes.
He didn't think it was going to happen.
This
but what should you think?
You get around the Jokic bros.
What are you thinking?
Yeah.
These guys that make Nikola Jokic look small. His brothers are just giant Serbian security guards, is basically what they are. And they were obviously in the stands last night in Denver cheering on their brother as Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets climbed back from down 20 in the second half to the Lakers. And Jamal Murray hits the fadeaway baseline jumper over Anthony Davis at the buzzer for the victory. But at one point, I believe at the end, in sort of in the celebration there, you get a Lakers fan that's a little bit mouthy. He's upset. His team just gave up a huge lead and gave up a huge victory. And I guess he had the wrong words for the wrong guy. It was Nikola Jokic's, one of his brothers. And the brother is a few rows up. So, like, and that's the advantage
play.
Yeah,
punch down, bro.
Yeah, when you're fighting from up and get to go down, you don't want to be the guy fighting in the stands that's having to look up at this guy. Because now this dude is just bigger than you no matter what. And this Jokic brother is a giant, giant, just angry, ornery human being. And he threw a punch on this dude that I mean, if you just saw the punch, you would think this is going to KO anybody in that building. But this Lakers fan just ate that thing, dude.
I mean, it must have got him on the forehead or something, because I'm surprised his nose wasn't splattered or he didn't go falling. I mean, Jokic's brother's got to be 280 pounds, and it's a lot of muscle.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I think you're right. The punch, though it was strong, was a little bit more in the nose, cheek, eye sort of area as opposed to a jaw shot. If you get that guy on the jaw there, that's a sleeper. But this dude just ate that thing.
I guarantee
he's
swolled up today, though.
Oh yeah.
He's swolled up today. Yeah.
He's very proud of it today. Yeah. I'd be taking social media pictures.
Breathing funny out of one nostril.
Yeah. I don't think Jokic's brother one is getting back in an NBA arena for a while.
No,
this.
No. The NBA is already doing their little investigation here. There's not too much to investigate.
So are the police. Yeah. The police are looking for him as well.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. They're looking for the guy that got punched to see if he wants to press charges, because no charges have came up, and they're also want to talk to the brother.
Yeah, he's just standing there talking like, dude, screw you. And he's like, no way, this giant guy is climbing over rows of people to punch me in the face. And salute to him for kind of standing his ground, even though he was 10 inches shorter and 100 pounds lighter. He looked like a pretty tough guy by his own right.
What a quick jab thrown there, too, by the Jokic bro. He's a giant, giant human being. He kind of jumps down. He's wearing a Chuck Liddell mohawk on his head. I mean, that should tell you all you really need to know about this guy.
I want to see him in some celebrity fights.
Yeah. We need to get some of that, dude. Because
I want to talk to that dude.
Yeah.
I want to see your situational awareness. You're not aware of this? Yeah. These guys have been in a fight before. Yeah, you ever seen this before? Are you new to the NBA?
I mean, at any point would you think about, you know what, I'm gonna run down these stairs or I'm gonna run up the stairs? I'm gonna put some distance between me and bro. You kind of got to just stand there and see what he's gonna do, right? You don't want to look like a chicken.
You got to hit him with the, hey, you got it. You got it, my bad. You got it, bro.
Yeah. Hey, bro. Dude, no, you're right. I don't want to fight.
You got it. You got it.
Yeah, mate. Look
my
at
bad.
You.
Trip.
Yeah. But maybe this Lakers fan knew.
I'm drunk. My bad.
Lakers fan knew that he could take a punch. You know, maybe that's the thing. Yeah. Like, if you know you can take a punch, you know you can take a punch.
This dude thinks he's going to knock me out. He doesn't know what I do.
Yeah. Very, very impressive, though. Yes. Shout out to that Laker fan. And I would love to have a conversation with that guy. And it looks like the police are efforting to do so as we speak. So, anyways, let's get into the news of the moment, which is the top 10 list of the day. And a lot of folks texting in their favorite Jack of all time. What do you guys prefer? Do you want to go through the Jacks or do you want to go through Nicholson's IMDb for his top 10 movies?
Okay, I know I got into a trouble yesterday for a couple of, you know, takes that were off the center, according to some people. But I do want to say, I don't think Jack's movie catalog is that good. I don't think it's that good.
His top
is undercutting Jack Nicholson's career the day after his 87th birthday.
Does he have a single truly great movie?
Oh, man.
He didn't even do that many of them.
You don't like the One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
I did love that movie. That's a good movie.
Easy Rider? Did you like Easy Rider?
I haven't seen it.
Chinatown.
Okay, Chinatown.
So you got to go back 70s.
He spent a whole lot of money on that.
You got to go back nearly a half century.
He's just 80, stopped working. Bro. Yeah.
How does he keep bringing in all this money? He just watches Lakers games and is a millionaire now?
You good, man?
Few Good Men is amazing.
That's pretty good.
I think it's
I mean, that's 90s. That's like 90s, yeah.
I think it might be back end on movies. Because he already gets a big... Yeah, Hoffa's great, Broadus.
Hoffa's in there, yeah.
Hoffa is great.
Look at Broadus understanding this the is catalog the
one,
here.
This is the one guy that I would watch movies, though.
Oh, this is your guy?
I mean, this is the one guy. Princey's Honor, Lucius, did you ever see that
Never seen that one.
Okay, he's an assassin that falls in love, and it's actually pretty cool.
Kathleen Turner.
Yeah.
Angelica Houston. Yeah,
I liked As Good As It Gets. I thought that was a good
movie.
It was a good one. Hey, shout out to the rom-com.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a grumpy old guy that hated rom-coms. I think I related to him.
Shining is good.
Shining is great. Shining was incredible.
Dawson.
Yeah, Shining was good.
Have you seen The Departed?
The Departed is good. I forgot he was in there.
Departed.
How about a smoke? You want to smoke? You do smoke. You don't smoke. What are you, fitness freak? Yeah, go bleep yourself.
I think he's still, he's got a higher ratio of fame to good movies than any actor out there.
Okay, so he does have a lot of B movies.
I mean,
a lot of B movies, but when he hit, he hit.
Yeah. Young gals are still throwing themselves at him.
It's Jack, baby.
Like cheating on their actor husbands to get with Jack.
He's on the beach with a big old belly eating a sandwich, a whole sub sandwich with no napkin or nothing, just a sub sandwich, bro.
He's definitely reached the point of no Fs to give.
Yeah. Belly out, bro.
It's belly out, sandwich in hand, heater in the other.
Yeah.
Sunglasses on, day or night, inside or out.
Crazy ass hair.
Yeah, hair looking like a Thundercat. Yes. Yeah, standing up on his head.
That hair hasn't seen a comb since the 80s.
Yeah. And she's 23.
Yeah.
What is going on? It makes me reevaluate everything women are looking for. I just don't understand you at all.
You should.
Anger management was good too.
He's arguably the best Joker.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
The most quotable Joker. Even though the other Joker says, "Why so serious?" This Joker right here, Jack Nicholson's Joker, has quotes, man. You would have hit a man with glasses, would you? You ever dance with the devil on the pale moonlight? I say that to all my prey.
It's good.
That's awesome, dude.
Was Heath Ledger better, though?
Yeah, Heath Ledger, like, he was a real psychotic type of person.
Yeah.
But some say there's no Heath without Jack. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, there you go. I like that.
The last detail comes in at number 10 for the catalog here of Jack Nicholson. Five Easy Pieces comes in at number 9. Easy Rider, Lucius, at 8.
Yeah. Come on.
That's 1969, I believe, yeah.
Batman at 7.
Let's go.
The Departed at 6. As Good As It Gets.
Yes.
At 5.
Good movie.
Where's Barry Lyndon? Barry Lyndon.
Oh, cute little dog, too.
Yeah, a good looking dog. Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
Number 4.
They spent a whole lot of money on that one.
1974, I believe.
Few Good Men at 3.
Is that Paramount? I think it's Paramount.
Look that up.
The Shining. It's number 2. And the One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest comes in at number 1.
Oh, so
you guys nailed this catalog. You absolutely nailed it.
Saw that in film school.
It was in Terms of Endearment, too. Another one.
Is it a no-brainer for you guys that he will come in, will Jack Nicholson, on the top 10 Jacks of all time?
For sure.
I think
for
so. Is he a top half Jack or a bottom half Jack?
He's going to be top half.
Top half Jack?
Yeah.
Right above Kennedy.
Yeah, Kennedy's going to be in that. Jack Kennedy.
Yeah.
That's not what you can do.
go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just
going to finish it.
I was no. It was a speech about going to the moon. We're going to the
moon. We're doing it because it's hot.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'm wondering how many of you will know some of these Jacks here. And maybe, you know, like Jack Sparrow's getting texted in a lot. You can give me a fictional Jack.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Jack Daniels?
Jack Daniels is a good one. Tennessee whiskey man.
Now, who's your favorite sports Jack of all time?
Nicholas. Is it?
Okay, Nicholas or I was going to maybe Lambert.
Dempsey.
Jackie Stewart, car racer.
Okay, if we're throwing Jackie's in there, then Robinson needs to be extremely high up on on the list here. Chan, oh my goodness, man. There might be a separate top 10 Jackies we could do. But Jack McBrier.
Jackie Chan?
Yeah.
I love Jackie Chan movies because he does not want to fight you guys. Come on, please, please, please. Yeah. And then he watches 30 of you fools in a row.
Yeah.
Please, please, man, I don't want to do this.
He'll climb up like three buildings trying
to do this to you.
I hate that you're making me do this to you, man. And it was all his own stunts, too. Like, Tom Cruise gets all the love, but it's Jackie Chan. I love – my favorite thing about a Jackie Chan movie is waiting to the end, and it's 2 minutes of bloopers where he's trying to do the stunt, and he hurts himself.
Yeah. Falls flat on his stomach at 43.
Oh, man.
Hits himself in the nards.
Yeah. He's, like, trying to jump through a car window and just smashes his face. Top 10 Jacks. Jack – let's see. Jack in the Box. Jackie Moon. Jack Lee Lane. Jack Lemmon.
Lane.
Oh, yeah.
Jack Johnson.
Yeah, boxer.
Another boxer.
Jack the Ripper.
No, Jack Johnson is a guitar player, isn't he?
I think there's two.
Okay.
But it's Jack.
Jack White.
Jack Johnson. Jack White, yeah. Jack Johnson was the boxer, I think.
Singer-songwriter Jack Johnson. He comes in at number 10, actually.
Okay.
Banana Pancakes guy.
How about the dude with the beard?
Don't mind if I do.
Oh, God.
Jack with the beard?
Yeah, isn't it Jack with the beard?
Jack Black?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
School of Rock.
Yeah, School of Rock was fantastic. He's on this list here, extremely high. Jack McBrier comes in at number 10. You'd probably know him if you saw his face. He's just a goofy supporting actor in some movies. Kind of a straight-edge funny guy.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Harlow.
Took steroids at LSU with me.
Jack Harlow comes in at number 9. Jack Whitehall at number 8, British comedian.
Yeah.
You have Jack Kerouac. He's one of the most influential authors of the Beat Generation.
Oh, okay.
The Beat.
Not super familiar with his work.
Beatniks, man.
We're at the coffee house, man.
Yeah.
Jack Johnson at number 6.
Tenacious D.
Jack Nicklaus at number 5.
Wow, 4 better.
The White Stripes, Jack White at number 4. That's a Mount Rushmore. Mm. Come on now. Jack the Ripper at number 3.
London Zone.
Serial killer.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson is number 2. We are honoring him a day after his 87th birthday.
We said he was going to be the higher up.
Yeah.
Jack the Ripper should be at the bottom of the list, bro. He's a murderer.
Yeah. I know. We have this infatuation.
He terrorized everybody.
Just
walk around London without it.
It was a real icon. But Jack Black is number 1, your most famous Jack in all the world.
Yeah, before you could get shamed into appreciating like murderers, they got famous as bleep, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like the Bonnie and Clyde biography was crazy to me.
Yeah.
How people were like cheering these people on. They're shooting cops.
Yeah.
You know?
Billy the Kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a record setting funeral here in DFW, Bonnie and Clyde, where one of them did. It's crazy.
Yeah, there was
DFW's own.
There was a video of like their car was all shot up, right? The FBI or whatever finally got them.
In Louisiana.
And people found out about it, and they like rushed the scene, and they're like trying to take their clothes off, and it was just it was a really weird time, I guess. Mm-hmm. Different time now, you know. You will be quickly reminded you should not be celebrating these people. You'll be shamed away from that kind of behavior.
Lucius, which gangster they caught in a movie theater? There was a famous gangster that I think that they got in a movie theater.
Well, wasn't that Oswald?
Well, I know they got. Yeah, that one was the for the assassin.
I don't know.
Abe Lincoln was in a theater.
Ooh, that's a good one now, though.
It might be John Dillinger.
It was Dillinger.
John Dillinger
caught at the pitches.
It was air conditioned.
At the moving pitches.
It was air conditioned, and that's why he got caught
at the Biograph Theater.
Yeah.
BOI agents moved to arrest Dillinger as he exited the theater. He tried to flee but was shot.
Dang.
Deadly shot was ruled justifiable homicide.
Yeah.
All righty. Thank you for the top 10. We'll check back tomorrow. Between Stars and Mavs, which team is in most trouble? Ooh. We'll discuss that. Have an edition of the Finest coming up at 5 o'clock. Then we'll be into the expressway. And before you know it, Sands will be talking to you, getting you ready for Rangers pregame coming up at 6 o'clock.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thank you, Lucius. Which team are you more concerned about, Mavs or Stars? The Stars, the better team, but they're down 1-0 as well after Vegas scored first in Game 1. They won it 4-3 last night. In the morning news here, I don't want to mess up her last name. It is Leah Asimakopoulos, has written a story about how the Stars gave up the first goal consistently throughout the regular season. And then last night, you take the penalty on the first shift, and they get a goal. And that is something that needs to be remedied if they are going to achieve their, you know, their goals here in the postseason and do what we thought they were capable of over the last couple of years. And now with the number one seed, we feel like they have the best chance to do it. But down 1-0, that has definitely changed. Is it the Stars you're more concerned about? Or is it the Mavs, who have thrived playing team defense and helping out Luka and Kyrie, but now they find themselves in an epic matchup against the Clippers that has like four guys that can just blow right by the defender at the top of the key, can put you all in pick and roll. And now if you help, they're the best distance shooting team in the league. They're going to make you pay if you help. Their playmaking is, you know, really great. And I don't know if the Clippers are a real contender or a real threat, but I think against this Mavs team, they are a very tough matchup, Chief.
Yeah, because they shoot the ball so well, and the Mavs just don't really have the supporting cast that can really shoot the lights out. You have some guys that can get going a little bit streaky, but consistently the Clippers are able to do that. I think it's interesting because these are equally difficult series where you're playing a very, very quality opponent, and the Mavericks don't have home court advantage in this series. The Stars just lost it last night. And these are both veteran teams with championship DNA to some extent. I mean, Ty Lue, Kawhi Leonard, you know what they bring to the table there, and then obviously what the Golden Knights do. And there's a similar question of, is either one of our teams here, the Stars or the Mavericks, up to the physical challenge, up to raising their level of play and intensity in a postseason atmosphere? And you saw it last night firsthand with the Golden Knights being a much more physical team. And this isn't a surprise about the Stars. We know, hey, they can flourish in the regular season, but then all of a sudden you crank up that physicality in the postseason. Are they built for that? That's a question that is not being answered in a way that you want it to from the Stars' perspective. And in Game 1 versus the Clippers, I mean, the Mavericks talked about it plenty after the game, like the physicality. Mm-hmm. We weren't up to the challenge. Which one of our teams is going to say, okay, forget this, we are here to meet this challenge and meet this physicality that our opposition's ready to have in Game 1?
Yeah, I think the thing that scares me the most is I want to believe the Stars, but if you listen to what, you know, Gavin Spittle and others on their podcasts have talked about, it's the physicality that teams that play that way against the Stars give the Stars problems. And so to me, this is something that it's not new. If somebody is going to try and forecheck or, you know, get you off the puck or, you know, drive you into the corner, you know, that's probably, you know, you've seen it. Yeah, the Stars have done a great job all year, but they've had struggles with teams that play a physical brand of hockey.
Yeah,
and
what
so
can happen?
To me, that wasn't surprising last night. What was surprising to me was I was surprised of how poorly I thought Vegas's goalie was, and Dallas didn't take advantage of that. And maybe they will in the series.
Yeah.
But they've got to
get some pucks on net.
You've got to get pucks through. Yeah. How about getting pucks through? Sure. You know, I mean, they showed last night, you get a puck on the net, Thompson can misplay it.
Absolutely.
So that's how do you get pucks through that defense?
Well, and then trying to be too perfect, trying to set up the perfect pass.
One too many pass.
You know, so that's a struggle. And then when you're not the more physical team, getting fired up to be like, we're not backing down from anybody. Yeah. And in the first like minute, you get called for a penalty. Or in the first 90 seconds, Daniel Gafford runs over a dude, you know, after giving Zubac all the space you would ever want as a big man. You're like, holy crap, is anybody defending me? So it can throw you off balance when you're not the more physical team trying to become physical. And if the refs think that you're, you know, out of character or, you know, you're taking it too far, now you're in foul trouble and now you can't try to play physical. And it's just, it can create a bunch of problems. And that's why both teams are down 1-0. Yeah. Is that a heart pendant you're wearing over there, Chief? What is that piece of jewelry?
Yeah. This is, I guess it's my birthstone. My grandfather gave me the necklace, and then my uncle had the little heart deal to go with it. So I was like, sure, I'll throw that bad boy on there. Yeah. I have a cross chain that me and all my brothers have a different iteration of from graduating from high school. Our grandpa was a big jewelry guy in South Florida. Made sure to get us all one, but mine is, my cross is a little bit too pointy.
Yeah.
And so with the babies, it's a bit of a hazard.
Okay.
So for the last like 3 years, I've just had to just take that thing off and it's just hanging. That's usually my everyday chain, but now over the last year or so, I've been wearing this bad boy. So just crept out there a little bit.
The Miami guys can really put the necklaces together, can't they?
Oh my gosh, dude. My grandfather, this is the same one who was doing, you know, selling the drugs to Mercury Morris in the 70s. He is, I mean, it's pinkies, it's rings everywhere, it's bracelets, it's four or five chains at one time.
It's a different era.
Now, is his shirt off or just super unbuttoned, or how's he doing that?
He'll mix it up. He'll go shirtless on you, he'll go deep V. I mean, get him a white Hanes V neck, and it shows all the way down to his belly button. He's not upset about that one either.
This is
my dad's dad.
Okay.
He will stay up. I mean, he will just live on one of those like jewelry infomercial channels.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, he is just peppering
that
phone line.
He's got the gold coins and all that, on the necklace. Yeah.
Oh, yes, dude. Yeah. He is all about that right there.
We're all about the football's finest about every night at 5 o'clock. And we're heading for an edition of that. And then some Cowboys content coming up at 5:20. We have an NFL draft big board report. Who are the mockers saying the Cowboys are going to take Thursday night? Plus a ton of Jerry quotes from today's press conference. But an addition of the finest is next. Chief, where are you taking us?
Yes, sir. Draft traps every NFL general manager must avoid next here in the nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular-season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.